Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Gross doctrinal error, an error that is being adopted by so many in the religious world and even by digressive and liberal brethren. The question was asked of some on the panel, how does God communicate with man today? And the answer given was at least two ways, by the Scripture and by the Holy Spirit. That is false. This idea that God speaks to us through Scripture and by the Holy Spirit is incorrect. The truth is, God speaks to us by and through the Scripture that was given to us by the Holy Spirit. As a result of this kind of error being taught, being adopted by even those in the church, for the next two Sunday nights, I'm going to bring a study from the Word of God on the Christian and the Holy Spirit today. And I hope that you will be present to learn once again those truths. We brought them from this pulpit before, but we must always constantly keep before us what truth is, especially as we are bombarded from every angle with denominational and Pentecostal doctrine. It was several months ago that Brother Charles Pledge approached me and others, and he said, "Brother Boyd, if we had a lectureship out in the area where I am working, would you consent to come and be one of the speakers?" Now, the area where Charles is working, as you well know, is Wyoming, Colorado, Montana, over into Idaho, vast areas, some of them sparsely populated, where the church is, if in existence at all, numerically weak, and it's a long distance from McMinnville. But I told him, yes indeed, I would be more than happy to come. In fact, I told him if he had gotten that hard up, why, I would be glad to come. But that was not really what I meant. Yes, I would be glad to come and to be of assistance. Last Lord's Day, at this very hour, it was the pleasure and privilege of Rosalind and I to be in Craig, Colorado. We were beginning our involvement in the second day of the biblical studies that were conducted there in Craig on Saturday and Sunday. Craig is in the northwest part of Colorado, a little city of some 4,000 to 5,000 people, about 1,500 to 1,600 miles from McMinnville, good long drive, on the other side, of course, of the Rocky Mountains. We were involved in what is called the first annual Craig Lectureship. And as I have already stated, we and others were there at the request of Brother Pledge. Brother Pledge is involved in mission work in those areas that I have noted. This was a part of the work and the plan that Brother Pledge was executing. As you're also aware, the work of Brother Pledge is overseen by the elders here at East End, with the cooperation of a number of other congregations throughout the Brotherhood that make contributions to the support of what he is doing. There are many that are helping in the work out there with the teaching of classes, with radio lessons being spread throughout, with correspondence courses being offered and taught, with materials being printed and distributed, and with efforts to establish congregations where congregations do not exist. And also with an emphasis of trying to assist faithful brethren and faithful churches to strengthen those brethren who are few in number, to encourage the few that are there to remain faithful and to continue steadfast in the old paths of truth. It's unfortunate, brethren, it's a sad thing, that though there be churches in that area here and there that are called churches of Christ, to a great extent there were churches that were planted there by faithful brethren many years ago, but as has happened in so many places over the last 2-3 decades, they have digressed, they have drifted, they've adopted liberalism. There's hardly a distinction between them and denominationalism. In fact, Brother Pledge tells us that so many of the preachers, even in Wyoming, where he makes his home, who stand in pulpits that call themselves churches of Christ, do not even anymore believe in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. That just is an indication of how far removed from thus saith the Lord some of these so-called churches of Christ are. Therefore, there are efforts being made to reestablish the cause of Christ according to thus saith the Lord. In Craig, Colorado, they are very few in number. In fact, at the lectureship, there was around 20 present, and that would include those of us who were speakers. Though it was advertised throughout the Brotherhood or the Churches of Christ in that area, there was no support whatever from the liberal churches, and this was to be expected. But these few in number, they are trying hard. Some of them drive, brethren, over 40 miles each way to be present at the worship services. They meet in a rented old bank building there in Craig, Colorado. It's a good location for them in which to meet, but it is difficult for them. The theme of the studies that we conducted there last weekend and Sunday was on the attitude of Christ. And what an appropriate theme that is, not only for there, but for anywhere. Paul wrote in Philippians 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And with that statement, Paul went on to emphasize the humility of Christ, which should also be of our mind and disposition. He went on to emphasize the obedience of Christ, yea, even to the obedience of the death on the cross, and obedience should certainly be of our mind and our disposition. We sing songs over and over again, and I trust with sincerity more and more like Jesus I would ever be. And brethren, there is no way to be more and more like Christ until we adopt the mind, the attitude, the thinking of Christ. And it is out of our heart, the very seat of our attitudes, that come forth the issues of life. Our behavior and our conduct is a reflection of the quality of our heart, of our attitudes. If we want to be more like Christ, we've got to have the same kind of thinking as Christ, the same values, the same priorities, the same standards, the same judgments, the same rule. And after all, Peter tells us he is our example and we are to follow in his steps. So it was most appropriate there and any other place that we study about the attitude of Christ. It's just somewhat of a coincidence in this year, and I know it wasn't coordinated because those involved were not coordinating their work together. On 3 of the lectureships that I'm privileged to speak this year, all of them have to do with attitudes. And every one of them emphasizing the attitude of our Lord. We began on Saturday morning. And by the way, that particular Saturday morning, it got down to 32 degrees. I don't know what happened to some of those brethren from some of those strange places, fell off of those mountains and brought their snowballs with them, I guess. But it was 32 degrees. Of course, it was 90 before we got out of there, but it was 32 when we began. Brother Harold Davidson, he's a faithful gospel preacher in Obion, Tennessee, began our study with the attitude of Jesus toward the temptation. And it was a marvelous lesson on how Christ was tempted, His response to temptation, His teaching concerning temptation, how we too can deal and handle and cope and overcome temptation. It was a great beginning. The second session of Saturday morning was a lesson from Brother Paul Wilkinson. Brother Wilkinson is a seasoned gospel preacher from Willow, Oklahoma. He spoke on the attitude of Jesus toward moral purity. Brethren, you could not sit there and listen to the great lesson that Brother Wilkinson brought without being disturbed, because he brought facts and figures and illustrations of the disturbing moral conditions in our country, and how over the years there has been such a lowering of moral values among population generally. And he did not bring us these things to discourage. He did not bring these things just to berate and to denounce the people of our nation, but to encourage even those few at Craig of the great need for the cause in which they're involved. The great purpose of Jesus Christ to lift mankind up above the level of animalistic behavior. The great design of God for man. What God expects of us as we live here in this life. And Brother Wilkerson did motivate us and encourage us to want to stand by the faith and continue in spite of overwhelming odds going in the opposite direction. And the fellowship of Satan by so many to stay steadfast, and to the nobility of the cause of Jesus Christ in face of all of that. It was a great lesson. We had lunch together. And by the way, there's a few pictures that we put on the bulletin board in the hallway out there to show you these speakers and where we were, where the brethren meet and who they are, and the pictures that we have of the people that were at the lectureship, though when we took the pictures, everybody that was there was not in the picture, but it'll be interesting to you, I trust. We had our lunch together. And then I spoke on the subject of the attitude of Jesus toward worldliness. I had the opportunity to speak three times, and you've already heard all three of them, because I always practice what I preach here at home. Read it by you first. At 2:00, we had a lesson from Brother Melvin Elliott on the attitude of Jesus toward obedience to God. There is properly an emphasis in teaching on what God has done to save man. What some have been negligent of, however, is man's part in God's plan for man's salvation. God is going to do His part. God has done His part. We don't have to beg God to do what God is going to do, but we do have to solicit and urge people to do what people must do in order to receive the benefits of God's grace. Brother Elliott taught us about the necessity of obedience. Brother Elliott is from Indiana. Brother Elliott is moving to Craig, Colorado, he and his wife. He recently sold his home in Indianapolis. They were in the process of moving. Even during the lectureship, he had to go back and finish up. He came out just for the lectureship and had to go back and finish all the confusion of moving, which some of you are well aware of, and then he is moving out to Craig. He's going out there and on his own expense. He is making the move on his own expense. No, Brother Elliott is not a wealthy man. He is retired, and this is the work that he is undertaking now to assist that small church in that relatively desolate area, desolate to our county. And he is to be commended for what he is doing. He's a faithful gospel preacher, and he brought a fine lesson. Later that same Saturday afternoon, we had a sermon, The Attitude of Jesus Toward the Sinner. This by Brother John Shaver. Brother Shaver is one of the very few faithful gospel preachers in the state of Wyoming. He's from Casper, Wyoming. I called him Casper the Friendly Ghost. But he's no ghost. He's a faithful preacher. And he preached concerning the attitude that Christ had toward the saving of the lost. Therefore, the attitude that we must have in reaching out to save people from the grips of Satan and their eternal condemnation in hell, lest they hear, believe, and obey. He brought good thoughts. After our morning and afternoon sessions on Saturday and our dinner break, that night I spoke on the subject of the attitude of Jesus toward the Word of God, in which, as I have said, I preached here but gave emphasis to the necessity of respect of God's Word as the standard, the absolute necessity of God's authority for what we say, do, believe, and practice, that the Word of God is the standard by which we shall be judged, John 12 and verse 42, that the Word of God is our only source of authority. It is from the Word that we receive our direction and our guidance. And as Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father, Matthew 4 and verse 4. And with those lessons, we retired for the evening, a long day, a good day of having studied together. On Sunday morning, Brother Harold Davidson, at the 10 o'clock hour, spoke to us of the attitude of Jesus toward false doctrine. Brethren, I tell you without any reservation, the lesson that Brother Davidson brought that Sunday morning was worth the effort of making the trip, in my evaluation. It was such a splendid presentation of an attitude that we must develop and must have in light of so much religious error that is propagated from both within and without the Lord's church. You would love Brother Davidson. Now, he's to never know that I said this, but he is a little more rotund than some of the rest of us. He's not real big. Well, I've already said too much now. I almost compared him to Brother Bishop, but they're close. But I'm not going to compare him with Brother Bishop, because Brother Bishop might think, I think he's rotund. That means big. But he is a very jovial fella. I just have to tell you about this. He's from Obion. Those of you who are familiar with West Tennessee, you know it's as flat as this platform. And I don't know whether Harold has ever been even up in the hills, let alone out of them. But he flew from Memphis to Denver. And from Denver, he got a rental car to drive the other 250, 300 miles over to Craig. And of course, he had to cross the Rocky Mountains. Charles had already advised me the way to go from Denver to Craig, the proper way, and not get into so much difficulty and curves and snow and high heights and all this, that, and the other. Well, evidently he didn't advise Harold, or he didn't pay any attention to it, one or the other, and he took off another direction. He looked at the map and saw that Highway 40 would get him there. Well, he took off. Well, he drove and he drove and he drove. And you would just split your sides listening to him tell about going over those curves and over those high places and running into the snow and just keep on keeping on. And of course you go down a 7-degree grade hill sometimes. He said you'd ride right, then first thing you know you'd see a sign of a truck going down the hill like this. Then you go a little bit further and you'd get a little steeper and almost be like this. And he was really shook up the time he got to Craig. He had to have a few hours to recoup. We really had a great time. By the way, brethren, let me just throw this out. Brother Harold Davidson would be a most excellent choice to have to come hold us a gospel meeting sometime. And you will have the opportunity to hear him on the tapes I'm going to tell you about in a minute. But he brought a marvelous lesson on false doctrine. At the 11 o'clock hour last Sunday, I spoke on the attitude of Christ toward the church. And brethren, we don't have to wonder what the attitude of Christ is toward the church. I know what God thinks of the church. I know what Christ thought of the church. I know what the apostles thought of the church. The question is not what was their attitude, what's ours. And our attitude ought to be the same attitude theirs was. And the Lord loved the church, and he sacrificed for the church, and he stood by the church, and he taught the necessity of the church, and all these other things. And then we had another wonderful lunch break together. After lunch break, Rosalind and I had to leave and head back toward Denver in order to be able to get back home at proper time. And there were three other lessons that we did not yet get to hear, but will. Brother Wilkerson spoke again on the attitude of Jesus toward materialism. Brother Elliot again on the attitude of Jesus toward compromise. And then Brother Pledge brought a lesson on the attitude of Jesus toward false teachers. You've heard Brother Pledge preach a number of times. You know that he, as well as the others, did a wonderful work. All of these lessons were recorded on audio tape, but also on two video tapes, which Charles intends to send a copy to the congregation here of the things that transpired there. And you can, if you wish, order these tapes for yourself. But I would heartily commend to you at least to hear some of these other brethren on some of these thoughts that I've mentioned. This lectureship had more than one purpose in it, brethren. It was not only to establish and strengthen brethren and to encourage brethren. Those of us who spoke were advised beforehand that we will not just be talking to those who are present at the lectureship. The purpose for the making of these tapes can be seen in the fact that there are a lot of small groups, and many of them seldom have preachers with them at all. And these tapes are going to be used in classes in some of these churches. They will be sent to them. They'll be able to study together the very themes that were presented in this lectureship. And brethren, what that which was preached at Craig, Colorado, as one brother who has been on and attended many lectureships said, though it may be relatively small in number, the lessons were as sound as you will ever hear anywhere from anybody. And sound doctrine will go forward by these tapes throughout this entire area where Brother Pledge is working. And brethren who seldom get a chance to participate in that kind of study will have an opportunity. So we were talking not only to those that were there, but we kept in mind there are others out there whom we may never see. They will also be listening to these things and hearing them. And another reason for having this to be done in Craig, Colorado was that the brethren in that area could know that there was a church, though small in number, in Craig, Colorado, that stood for the truth. There was a church in their area from which would emanate God's Word in its purity and simplicity. That there were efforts being made in that area that thus saith the Lord shall prevail. that these things transpired there, right there in the general territory where they lived, and that was the reason for having it in this fashion. Because this lectureship gave a great emphasis that what we know of Christ and of our responsibility unto Him is from the Word of God, because it is, as Jesus said, "They testify of Me." There was a great emphasis that there is no separation of the Word and salvation, Christ and His church, and that there is always the necessity of, the need for the Bible, not the opinions of men, not feelings, not just religion, but New Testament Christianity. And I can say of those who are the local members there, they were most hospitable. The meals that we had on Saturday and on Sunday, they provided them for us on both days. For the most part, each one would make their own provisions. The preachers that came from Obion, Oklahoma, wheresoever, they were sent there by the churches for which they preach. And you, brethren, at East End assisted me in part for being able to make the trip and to participate there also. And since we have returned home, we've heard from some of the brethren there at Craig, and they were most encouraged, and that thrilled our hearts. It's such a difficult thing to go to service, and there may be four, there may be six, seven, but they were encouraged because of what they heard, and that there are others that are interested in them. And I think it was by design that Charles entitled this the first annual Craig, Colorado Lectureship. There are plans for an annual event of this nature, not only in Craig, but also in Sheridan, Wyoming, and other places where such things are needful. Brethren, those folks out in that area, they need our help. And they need our moral support, and they need our prayers. They need our financial support because they are so few in number. And I can say to you, they are trying. I wonder, brethren, if those of us here in Warren County, if we really have any idea how blessed we are. Concerning the church, we live in a county where there are something like 48 different congregations meeting this morning. There'd be an area where you drive a half a day and you wouldn't find 48 members of the church in the whole area. And yet, brethren, us being steadfast and hanging in there and staying with it. Through the worst kind of weather, long and dangerous distances they drive in order to meet with a few saints that love the Lord and His church. And around here in McMinnville, you can't get brethren to come to an air-conditioned building 5 blocks away. It makes you wonder whether or not we pay any attention when the Bible teaches us to whom much is given, much shall be required. No, I didn't go to Craig, Colorado to encourage those brethren in order to come back and bash my brethren here in McMinnville. But if we could see the contrast, it's impressed it more and more upon me. Here we've got lots of preachers, lots of elders, vacation Bible school, gospel meetings. It makes you wonder why people in Warren County and McMinnville, Tennessee, who profess to be Christians, have to be begged to worship God when they are out there begging for the opportunity. You need to think about that. You need to look over here and think about that. Congregations here in this area run into the hundreds, several of them. They wouldn't know what to do if they saw that many people. I want to make a suggestion that you might think about in the next coming months. You might make your plans to go out there one time. Now, I know it's a long way, but you need to go visit places like that. Now, I would suggest that you take more time than Rosa and I took. It gets tiring driving 600 and 700 miles day after day. And that's what we did in order to get where we thought we were supposed to be. And we didn't even do like Brother Davidson. We went the direct way. So I suggest that you take your time to go, but take the time to go. It'll make you grateful for what you have, what's right at our fingertips. It'll be interesting as well, but it'll impress upon you the work of the Lord. It'll make you want to be of help to those good brethren out there who are struggling. It'll make you see how that a lot of people around here who think they're going to coast into heaven on the coattails of their ancestors may wake up and find themselves wanting on the day of judgment. Maybe we've got it too easy, brethren. It'll make us want to give more, work harder, pray more fervently, and keep those people in mind who are struggling to save souls, precious souls, just like we're doing here. They're going to have another one of these next year. I don't know whether they invite me back or not, but they might. I'll go pretty cheap. But if you could make the time to go out there and take your vacation, and there are a lot of interesting things to see between here and there. Many of you have been out there. You already know that. Of course, I know you can go sometimes 50 miles and not see anything, but it's still out there, and that's even worth seeing. Take your time to go and be at an event like this in one of these places that Brother Pledge is working so hard to instill interest and concern. That would lift their spirits out there so high. Here are people that care about us. They care about the Lord. It'd be a tremendous investment you could make for the cause of Christ. And you would be the one that would benefit the most from it. It was a most interesting time. I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to go. It's been my pleasure to be in events like this a number of times through the years, but none that moved me any more than the one that I just experienced. You cannot help when you say your evening prayers to keep those brethren in mind. I know we want to spread the gospel of Christ because that's what the Lord wants us to do. But brethren, spreading the gospel of Christ begins with us. It begins with you. It begins with me. It begins with you being a Christian, a faithful Christian, a dedicated, sacrificial, hardworking, loyal, faithful, dependable, keep on keeping on kind of Christian. And then spread the gospel to others that they too might know the joy of being in Christ and the hope of heaven and the guide for their lives. It's the greatest work in which we are involved together that mankind can enter into, brethren, is spreading the gospel. The Lord loves us. The Lord wants us to be saved, but we must respond to His invitation. I close the remarks this morning reminding you that faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ is the way that we begin our lives as Christians. In faithful service throughout life, we have God's own promise. Heaven will be our home. If you are subject to the Master's call,